Welcome, everybody. The June 15th, 2016 special meeting will now come to order. Mrs. Moak, roll call, please.
Mr. Buckles?
Here.
Mrs. Clark?
Here.
Mr. Escalante?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Bochinski?
Here.
Mr. DeFabio? Mrs. Nelson?
Here. Public participation. Is there anyone present who would like to address the board? Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
Do you mind standing because we are live streaming?
Sure.
That'd be great. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, so Monday night we had a discussion on the budget. And I understand we're at the start of the budget season, but my way of thinking, if I'm sitting up there and not sitting over here, is that I'm prepared at the start of the budget season to make those kind of cuts that we have vetted out that we can then go ahead and say to taxpayers, hey, we're awake, we're doing something, we're backing up what we said during the course of the year we would do. Now, I'm not Carmack, and I can't predict that you guys will, that if we can have in 2 or 3 months a conversation where we didn't get anything done at all, not even a conversation about some things that were brought up. But I did bring up two things during the course of the year. One was a little smaller than the other. It was about the cell phones that we're giving a $75 stipend to 27 people in the district. And we could save, if we cut down to $25 a month, off the top of my head was around $16,000, which would pay for all the sporting during the course of the year. Mm-hmm. The other was the $200,000 that we could save if we cut the TRS benefits off of the backs of the taxpayers and sent that over to the administration. And I remember you, Ms. Nelson, saying back whatever month it was we were talking about this at the end of when it was just dropped and not thought about anymore, that you would be looking for other ways, other avenues to save that $200,000. So I throw it to you. We are at June 15th.
Thank you.
And I heard nothing Monday night about any kind of cuts. I saw a budget, and I haven't been part of that process, so I just wonder, are you going to do anything of a solid nature in trying to make an actual cut from what we currently spend, whether it be the one or two things I brought up, which I think are fantastic ideas, or some other idea that would be a solid and would give us some, you know, some real savings?
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Thank you, Jeff. Anybody else?
Ms. Polk?
No.
All right. Thank you. All right. We have an action item tonight. May I have a motion to approve the employment recommendations on the personnel report represented? We all have a copy of the personnel report in our seats. May I have a motion?
Motion.
Mr. Ellis?
Second.
Mr. Escalante? Discussion. We have three positions on here. Assistant Superintendent for Human Resources recommendation. A Forest Glen extended school year SLP services. I'm not.
Sorry. For our summer school program.
Summer school, thank
yes.
you. Okay. Tara Frey, and then Ed Franklin with the movement of Jeff Burke up into the principalship at Franklin with Kirk Samples moving out of the district with his family. Employment recommendation, Sarah Rodriguez to assume the position of assistant principal. So those are our three.
Those are your three.
All right. Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
No.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Buckles?
No.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, discussion items. Tonight is a special meeting on facilities, and Paul, you're leading.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome, task force members. Appreciate you coming back out. Principals, staff, board, and other community members, I appreciate coming out. Interesting enough that we're talking about facilities. And sorry, tonight we have one of our coolers down. We found a little earlier today, so that was intentional, but it is interesting times. So tonight, our focus is on the facilities. And doing a quick review, we're going to talk about past history, some history since 96 forward, and then more recent history. And then we're really going to get into the task force recommendation, administration recommendation, Then we're really going to turn it over to the board to ask the board for some clear direction as to next steps going forward. So that's the focus for this evening. So why are we here? I think collectively we all recognize that our facilities, whatever you think of them, could probably be enhanced in some way or fashion. And that we believe that our students would deserve better than what we currently have, whatever that looks like. I think we can collectively say that we need to get rid of these portables at Hadley. And we need to really talk about lack of space for all-day kindergarten for all students. And then within the deficiency that throughout all the other buildings, be it core space, flexibility of hallways, we jump right into the history. For a number of years, we've talked facilities in this district. Going back to 96 and then 97, where they approved, the voters approved a referendum to make some repairs, do some additions, and then take down the Spalding School at that time. And then we started our portables in 2001. Portables started appearing in our district. 2003, a Blue Ribbon Committee came together and was tasked, this sounds familiar to anybody, tasked with looking at our facilities and trying to come with a solution that would support our district. The 2003 Blue Ribbon Committee recommended at that time to study a fifth grade center, develop a study the development of an early childhood center, and then slightly redraw boundaries. So those were some of the big pieces that came out of that Blue Ribbon. Then highlighting 2009, the Master's Facility Plan. For that, the Master's Facility Plan Committee was to eliminate portables at all schools while creating space for small group work. They presented several concepts to address the needs, including enlarging and reconfiguring the schools, or building a new school at the Spalding site. So they, from the history perspective, I don't think there are any brand new ideas out there. We just keep talking about these same ideas and how to move forward and how to solve these issues. From 2013 to present, we've had some work done. My first summer here, we brought the board together for a facilities meeting, and that's where the board gave me direction, which eventually led to the administration's phase one and phase two plan. The board approved the phase one in that plan. The phase one, phase two, all along was about adding on to our buildings, adding on classrooms to each of the buildings. Phase two was about adding a school at the Spalding site to have those pieces working together. Because we really felt like just adding on wasn't enough, that we needed to reduce the numbers within our schools to really get that core space. At that time, we heard this a lot, that right sizing of schools. And for us, it was about making sure each school had the right core spaces, the needs for all the students are met. From bathrooms to classrooms to flex space. So that's big picture. That was what that phase one, phase two, and that fall of 2013, where the board took action in November, financing in January, and construction began in June. It came back, administration, we really started talking about full-day kindergarten, how that impacts it. That was part of the phase one, phase two, all along, was full-day kindergarten was part of that conversation. Just looking at some of the highlights, started those community listening sessions about full-day kindergarten. Started bringing people together to have those conversations about what would that full-day kindergarten look like and to remove portables. Asking the community to come together. Asking for volunteers, not selecting people, but to say, community, come out, give us your thoughts on our facilities. as we've gone through that history, one of those pieces that have come up is this why full-day kindergarten. It's been recommended by administration. It's been recommended by Team 21. Many of our area districts have full-day kindergarten. Our private schools have full-day kindergarten. Parents have looked at full-day kindergarten and feel like that's an important aspect for them. Even if they have a kindergarten student or if they don't, people recognize the value of full-day kindergarten, the enhancement of student achievement. Compared from a full-day kindergarten student to a half-day kindergarten student in that moment, full-day kindergarten research clearly outweighs it. The improved social-emotional, the solid financial investment. We know the early returns on great early childhood education makes a big difference. Teachers prefer it. The reality is, when we talk about half-day kindergarten, we really should be talking about 2.5 hours long. A lot of work to be done in 2.5 hours. A lot of learning that needs to occur in 2.5 hours with the rigor of our standards. Parents prefer. We put out, again, a district-created survey. Parents, overwhelmingly, we're looking to have that within our district. The next big question the board is going to wrestle with is Hadley, the portables. There are only portables left today. Similar to the elementaries, safety reasons, disconnected from the rest of the school, instructional time lost when kids are going to the library, when kids are going to the restroom, anytime they're moving from the classroom, going somewhere and coming back, we're losing instructional time. They are temporary structures. We're required each year to sign off. I have to sign off that we have a plan to eliminate these portables. Our enrollment. We have all of our enrollment numbers up on our D41 website. We will be having a new CASARTA report starting in July. The CASARTA company will be working with us to start doing all of their work. But for the past 10 years, we've been a 3,500 to 3,600 school district. That's who we've been. CASARTA will look at us and say, where are we going? What are we going to be? So they'll be on the ground and engineer. But we've really fluctuated between that 100, somewhere in there. You know, some years it's 20, some years it's a little bit more. But we've been a 3,500 to 3,600 school district. What deficiencies remain? Firstly, if the board so chooses to offer full-day kindergarten for all, we don't have that space across this district. We still have portables, we have lack of flexibility, we have the spread of course spaces, and not all programming services are accessible due to the location. So we still have some deficiencies. We still have some work to be done here. With the great work of the task force, we're coming together with solutions. The board has been given a lot of data points. The board has been given, they have all the historical data points. They have all the work from the task force. They'll have the administration's recommendation tonight as well. And it's really to the board to review all of those data points. And ultimately, the board needs to make that decision, that next big decision as to where we're going. The Community Facilities Task Force, as you guys know, we're going to get into this in depth because we've been there. The elementary recommendation, modify existing buildings and address those building deficiencies. Again, much more detail than those two little bullets, but we have that full report for you guys. Hadley Junior High recommendation, the 10 new classrooms, 12 optional, a multi-purpose room for a cafeteria and auditorium space, and a remodel of the pods. So the task force, over 9 months, a lot of work, a lot of conversation, a lot of thought, went into this recommendation. Administration deviates slightly. Still believe that the Early Learning Center on the District 41 property at Spalding is a really good, sound, long-term solution. that works for our schools. We don't offer full-day kindergarten for all students. It would be designed specifically for the unique needs of pre-K kinders. Relieve the core spaces that the task force and others have recognized. That would allow for future opportunities. Address deficiencies and no loss of green space. With the Hadley, 100% support the task force recommendation, those same pieces. We added on, but these were also in the task force recommendation, that Glencoe bus lane. Both groups recognize that is a priority. This is not about competing between task force administration. It's about giving the board different data points, different ways of looking at a solution. Because ultimately, the people who make this decision is the board. So that's what we're here tonight to do, to get direction. Some two big boulders we need direction on. Offer full-day kindergarten for all students and replace the portables at Hadley. So those are two big boulders that we're going to be looking for. Some consensus tonight, but then coming back on July 27th to get an actual vote on where we're going and what are we doing. What did I say?
July.
Did I say July? It's definitely not July.
July.
Definitely June 27th, not July 27th. So I apologize. So what we have is a kind of a decision tree. Back time, we have a decision tree for you. As you can see, full day kindergarten for all. Yes, no. Under that yes, you want to add to the elementary buildings, new building at Spalding, K-5, ELC. No. And then you have to answer that question around, do you want it for some? Yes, no. Again, you have some other pieces to go there. But I think there's been a lot of time, there's been a lot of history, there's been a lot of work by everybody. And now that time to say, where are we going? So we spend the right money in the right areas and engage our partners, Green Associates, to look at what are those costs associated with each one. The costs associated, what we currently have, are from our current but former architect firm. We need to ensure that Green Associates has a deep dive on this work, and they're able to really get into it to give the board those costs that they're looking for. So for me, I'm going to turn it over to the board now to really have that conversation about full-day kindergarten. And to reach some consensus around full-day kindergarten, because that starts the decision matrix for the elementary. Mm-hmm. And then we have, just a quick preview, doing the same thing at Hadley. So with that, hand it over to the board. Questions and conversations on that full-day kindergarten, and where are you at? What is your thinking? Again, this is all to either say, you know what, we're done with this conversation around full-day kindergarten, and administration needs to move on to other pieces, or yes, the full-day kindergarten, we've got to continue searching for solutions on that. So with that,
I have one clarification.
Please.
You had sent us, and I know that the community had this too, but there was included in this the all-day kindergarten operational costs. And so that was in our last memo for you. I'm going to assume that that's still
accurate. It's all dependent on your decision.
Right. There's three pieces here. Additions to existing schools, a new K-5 school, and then a new early learning center. Those three pieces. But this is still accurate.
And the operational cost, that will come back to the board to say, because each one would be different.
Right.
Each one would be different. So we really felt like we had to start at the very top and say, where are we at? Where are we going? What is the board? What is the board's direction to us?
Right. Because these numbers they're not that old. I mean, they were calculated late January 2015,
yeah.
That initial. So
it had that 2.14%
right.
increase to many areas and to some different increases. But they are the...
Okay. They're baseline. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Comments, observations?
I'll start. I just don't understand why it's... For me, I'll say this. For me, it's an easy question because by saying no, you've just stopped the conversation. You've stopped asking the questions, who, what, when, how high. So for me, this is an easy one. Yes, we continue to go forward because there's enough community... For me, there's enough community sentiment that says we want full-day kindergarten. By saying yes, for me, doesn't necessarily mean ultimately yes. It just means, for me, yes means keep doing the research. Let's keep the task force. Let's keep the momentum going forward. Let's get the people on board and get more information. So that's how I feel.
I wholeheartedly agree. It keeps things moving forward. But we need that direction from the board to move forward or not to move forward. Because the next steps are going to cost some dollars.
Right.
And that's why we're shaping it like this, kind of going from here down to this. Because the next steps are to get those actual costs for whatever the board
wants. That's an investment in making a good decision.
It is.
Right.
It is. Because these decisions will lead to a survey, which will... help you inform if you're going down the line of thinking you are.
Yeah. I mean, I always have, my vote always has the right to say no, stop now, because it's ballooned way out of proportion, but I don't have that fact data now. So to keep the conversation going, it's for me quite simply yes.
Okay. So we'll just stay there for now, and then we'll keep drilling down just on elementary, because we'll get to the facilities on what you want us to share on the survey. So that's why those pieces are out there. Anybody else? Whoever wants to jump in?
Go ahead.
You want to go ahead?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, for me, I mean, I don't think it's a matter of, I mean, I said this, I know when we were here talking with the task force, I said this already, so I apologize for repeating myself, but, you know, it's not a question of should we or shouldn't we have full-day kindergarten. I'm okay with having full-day kindergarten, but I think it comes down to how are we going to, the facilities are one half of it, the other half of it is how are we going to fund it. And so, you know, I don't know that we're going to resolve that tonight, but I think at some point, you know, there's only a couple, there's, I guess, three options. You charge tuition, you go to an ed referendum, or you pay for it out of our existing funds. Of those, the option that I'm favorable towards is paying it out of existing funds. I don't know that my fellow board members agree with that, but I think, you know, if you do move forward and you move forward with the facilities and you get that done, we have to be prepared. How are we going to pay for it? And are we going to be able to use, you know, I don't know. We may not have a choice with those options.
Absolutely.
And so are we ultimately prepared if we say we're going to have full-day kindergarten, are we ultimately prepared that we are going to have to find the money in our budget to pay for it? Because the other two options may not be a reality.
Absolutely.
That's the question, I think. That's how I'm approaching it. It's not a matter of should or shouldn't we have it. I guess it's if we're saying, like, all of our other programs, if we're saying it's something we need, then how are you going to make it a reality within the confines of the budget that we have? That's how I would say.
I think it feeds right into what Patrick was saying. Start at the very top and keep saying, if the board says yes to full-day kindergarten, then it comes back to the administration to say, okay, how do we fund this? And you're right. There are only three ways to do it. I don't believe anybody in here believes an ed fund referendum would pass, so we're probably down to two options. But we have to start with, do you want full-day kindergarten? So we continue down those paths. So that's why we're trying to start here, and then you're absolutely right. We'll get to that next piece of how we're going to fund that. And those are those big budget conversations that we had on Monday night that would really start in the fall. We're saying, okay, if it's... Because each one, you know, if it's a new building... Based off of those 2015 numbers, you're about $2.1 million in operating costs that you have to come up with. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're back to those two options, You have to figure that out. We have to come back to the board and say, here are our options. If it's the add-on to buildings, the one, about 1.34, forgetting the exact number off the top of my head, and maybe a little bit lower than that. So that's why we're trying to narrow everything down so we can spend the right amount of time on the right work, and we're not just doing all of this work. Anybody else want to jump in? So I'm hearing yes on full day kindergarten as we keep going down the path or the funnel.
Well, can I say one more thing?
Oh,
I'm sorry,
please.
Drew. I don't want to.
That's okay.
Or you go.
No, go ahead.
Yeah,
finish
your thought. I was just going to add, I guess, the struggle for me is I feel like if, and this has kind of gone around for like 2 years now, if the administration is saying we need full-day kindergarten, it's a game changer, which I think that's what we were saying when we started phase one of facilities, I feel that really what the board's job should be to say, okay, well, we need full-day kindergarten. How can you make it happen with the money you've got? I feel more like that's my job. I mean, I guess when it comes, facilities is another part of it because we are going to be looking to spend more money for it. But I think this has kind of gotten convoluted over the past couple of years on how we're actually making the decision. I don't know if that's going to confuse it moving forward. But
I hope that's why we're really trying to angle this down so we know exactly what we're doing, and you're giving us that direct feedback, and we're able to give you the right cost associated with it. Drew?
You know, and I've said this to you before, Paul. I'm not adverse to full-day kindergarten. For me, it is how are we going to pay for it? And I'm not in favor of an ed referendum.
To pay for salaries.
So, again, my preference, if this is the thing we need to do, if this is our priority, and it can't be one of a bunch of other priorities. Like, well, this should be the priority. So if this is our priority, you know, I'd like to see a tuition-based, I'd like it to be funded from tuition. And if that doesn't materially impact our budget, all the better. If that's not the answer, and the answer is we want to take it from operations, then I have to see a realistic plan that addresses things that aren't priorities if this is the priority. So, again, although I'm not adverse to it, I'm not looking to balloon up expenses without having a plan in place to support this this priority.
So I think it's very similar to Stephanie, which tags into Patrick around. If we're giving great direction around full day kindergarten, comes back to us to show you how do we pull that off? How do we pay for it?
How do we pay for it?
Be it tuition based, be it operation, be it a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So that's, again, why I'm asking for, give me some direction on full-day kindergarten. Is the board supportive? Because ultimately, if the board's not supportive of full-day kindergarten, I don't know why we would go down this path of doing any more work with our elementaries. Because that's the real reason you're doing whatever you choose to do, either adding on to buildings or not. Without full-day kindergarten, the other things don't matter because we're okay. It's not a perfect situation, but we can get through. If we say no to full-day kindergarten, we don't have to talk about those other two pieces. That's why I think that full-day kindergarten direction from the board is critical to me. Because without that, then we can't turn to green associates and say, okay, I need actual cost for modifying the building, not cost from a year and a half ago. So that's why I'm approaching it in this manner. But I absolutely agree with you, Drew, that said, from that, then we would have to come, our team would come together and say, how would we operationalize this? How would we make this come alive? And that's, again, back to Stephanie's point, that's where it'd be back to the board's hands to say, is this a budget we can live with? And these priorities would occur from there.
And again, and I don't want to beat the dead horse, but you know, we've been told this is the game changer. This is the thing. This is the thing we have to do. And okay, give us an option that is palatable. You know, just funding it because we need to have it. Because without having a plan, without having a sustainable system to support it, I would say no to it.
For me, this has always been kind of a cat and mouse game, because it seems like the board, for the last couple of years, just, you know, it's like standing at a 50 degree lake and putting part of your foot in it and saying, well, it looks enticing, but it's a little cold. I'm not sure I want to go there. But for me, I see it as a couple of things. I see it as, how are you going to pay for it, which everybody's talking about. But if you move down this path, we've been told by principals a year and a half or 2 years ago that they could probably fit full day kindergarten in their buildings. I think Churchill is maybe the exception. I'm not sure with the additions whether that's changed or not. But for me, if we head down that path, you're going to have to go for building referendum for the elementary schools. I mean, I know Tom and I have discussed taking it out of budget. I just don't know how you're going to pay for all this stuff out of our budget.
I would agree.
I disagree. I respect Tom, but maybe I disagree a little bit with that. But for me, it's almost a trap. It's if I say, hey, this is full day kindergarten. Well, I'm going to get down that path, and eventually, then I'm going to say, well, I want full day kindergarten, but we're going to have to go to a building referendum to go and get approved. I'm not sure that the town will approve additions for full day kindergarten. It impacts a small percentage of kids that comes into the system. So, and you know, I've said this before, it angers me a little bit that the board prior to us, and I know this upsets people, but they put Stephanie and I in a funny spot, even though we argued against this. But the full day kindergarten decision should have been made when phase one and phase two were being talked about. And it should have been incorporated. It should have been a decision that was made. It was either there or not there. And if it was there, it should have been incorporated the first time. So going back in a second time after we've just done construction, that's not efficient. There's no economy of scale there. So for me, that part of it, I still have a hang-up with that. I've long said I'm not a tuition-based guy. This is a public school education. This should not be the have and the have-nots for me. And if you're in the other category, then we're subsidizing it anyway. So for me, we should just be paying for everybody if that's what we decide to do, and we should make it a priority, just like we do in our own household. So that part of it, from a funding standpoint, I'm okay with it, because, you know, I'll have an option to either say yes or no, depending on your recommendation. But where I really have concerns is I'm not in the mood to spend money to go ahead and add on to the schools again. So for me, again, it's a priority, you know, and do we have the space? And if we don't, I'm not really excited about full-day kindergarten. Because to me, that moves us into a position that we have to add on to the schools, and we don't have to. So that's.
I want to make one point that you brought up, and I think it's an important one from tonight. It is what tonight will ultimately do is hopefully give us some direction for our community-wide survey. To your point, to say, okay, full-day kindergarten, and we're going to be looking at these two solutions, or whatever the solutions are. Here are your options, community. To get the broader community's input to say, are you comfortable in this area? Because ultimately, I believe you're correct that this is funded through a referendum. So if you're going to build on whatever you do, I just believe that. Because we'll all be taking between $1 and $2 million out for operating expenses. I don't know how we would be able to add on an additional about $3 million. I think it would be. Annually, so you're talking either $4 to $5 million annually out of our budget to pay for construction and staffing. I just don't see that occurring out of a $52 million budget.
And I just add, and I said this when I ran for this position, I never think that you should be funding projects where you're adding additions or you're doing major construction projects. That you should be funding that out of your own budget. That should be that those kinds of projects, those are 50-100 year investments, those should be going out to the taxpayer to make a decision whether they want to do that or not. Now, capital projects are different, you know, air conditioning, you know, roofing, all that. That comes out of your budget. But the way that the building additions were funded last time, I just don't agree with that. You know, so that would be a non-starter.
Okay. On the full-day kindergarten, hearing yes with some trepidation moving down that. Just talking about first. Yeah, just talking about first.
Just summary.
Yeah, just trepidation with moving down that.
If it came down to have an add-on to the schools, I would say no.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Thank you. Joe?
Yeah, just a couple questions first. The Casardo report.
Correct.
Starting July, they are completing it.
He felt like within 30 to 60 days that he would have it. It was all dependent on so what other work was in his system.
September 1st.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the second, well, I'll make a second point, and then I'll ask the second question. I agree with Kurt on in this discussion about how we're going to pay for it, which everybody brought up. The discussion seems to be more about salaries. But the facilities is the big number here. So I agree with Kurt and how he approached it. You concurred with it. Obviously, quickly when he brought that up. I think that was a missing ingredient that the big ingredient, quite frankly, for me. Second question is, maybe you don't know the answer to this, but if we say yes, then we estimated these costs.
Estimated cost
of research. I mean, you're going down this funnel,
yep.
You and Patrick kind of described here. Do we know those costs?
We have an estimate for cost if we were to look at the elementary in Hadley, Carol.
Plus.
Yeah.
So what's the proposal? I'm sorry.
26,000
for
the work to look at it.
So if we go yes, we got an A and a B.
Yeah.
So 20-some thousand.
In that area, $20,000 to $30,000
gotcha.
Within that area.
So we'll just call $25,000. And then
yep.
I'm gonna go to the next slide.
Okay.
And here, what's the same cost for Adam?
That's the whole game. Sorry.
No, that's good to know.
And again, that's why this is important to say. Do you want us to go investigate? Do you want to spend real dollars? As you said, an average of about $25,000 to get the hard cost. To get those numbers. That's why we're having to do this.
I understand your approach, but I'd like to continue.
Yep.
So, when you say all day kindergarten, and then you have some, for some, right there. Define for some for me, so I completely understand.
So, if we say, if Ford said no, for some, that would be maybe you're most at risk, but you would also decide that. Is it at risk plus?
What do you guys think?
I would say at risk. First, and then if there's space available, lottery.
Okay, let me back up. At risk right now for early childhood, we have about 120 students. We have 89 students.
Special ed included.
I think it's 80 that are.
So okay. 80 is the pre-K. I'm supposed to. I think it was 83. Okay. So do you think that that's the starting point? Do you think that's the end of that?
Would be the starting point
for the four sub.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Because that's that preschool, that pre-K program. So we would be looking at how many other kindergartners could be involved in a full day program, and what's our space available to us.
And
so all those things would factor into it.
And my follow up question to that, still only have a question for you.
No, you're
my follow up question to that is right now with. Directing Title I money, we kind of piloted this. We have 34 students. Okay. How? And that was a January to end of year. Good. And the results of that
will be shared with you.
Okay. Can you give us a
quick preview?
Okay. So the 27th. Thank you.
Do we have a compare?
My last question.
I'll come back.
No,
I was just going to add to that. Do we compare them to like their counterparts that did not have the program, because I think that's really, like, it's good to see their progress, but we kind of need to compare the kids that didn't have the full day enrichment versus those that did. What's the differential in the growth, right? Or extended, whatever we call it, sorry. Right. I guess that's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's, I think, what you... Or maybe compare them to the year prior, students that would have fallen in the same category, what their growth looked like with just a half-day kindergarten and no extended day.
If you can do that, I would like that figure.
Right? Is that, sorry to interrupt, Joy.
Those light kids, similar kids who are in our current extended day program to the previous year kids who are like them as well.
Right. Them as well as their counterparts this year who weren't in. Just to give us some data to try to see what...
But wouldn't you have the math data because they administered a separate assessment that now you're going to take, but wouldn't have size data.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this would be out of Churchill.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Joe.
That was it. Sorry, Joe.
But no problem. And it kind of leads to right where I'm going. So it's perfect. Four is you put up on your slide early on, improve social and emotional skills, solid financial investment. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the cost benefit. Now this is kind of where my world class is. The data I read showed really what the comparison was where you're at fourth grade, full-day kindergarten, half-day students, kind of track them through. And the data seemed overwhelming. This is why the data is interesting to see on the 27th. But really, the tracking needs to go over years based on the research. And these are research that you provided with
yep.
the doing it at, for a six-month period, definitely should see it. It's data we should see. But what this research showed is really looking at it over that longer-term period, and it's really in the fourth grade. I'm not an expert in this, but provided those things.
Yep.
So I think we need to speak to it, because at the end of the day, what that research tended to show, and this is over from the 70s all the way to the
80s,
was that the at-risk kids are the ones that showed the performance enhancement academically, not speaking socially and emotionally. The whole different gamut, I don't know how you necessarily measure that. But the solid financial investment, yes, for that group, but we did not show that for
typical
students. It showed that over time, coming to about fourth grade, there was a leveling off. And in fact, in some studies, you couldn't tell which group was which. So, to me, bold statement, the game changer was for the students that were at risk. So,
from that study.
There's other data out there. I think it's important that we study it, we enhance it. And we figure it out because this is a big financial investment. Now here's where I'm at.
Okay.
Because in my world, and I deal with facilities all the time, not the academic, but we look at you're making an investment and you get a return on the investment. Easy when it's dollars, sometimes you're wrong though, sometimes you know there wasn't going to do it. But clearly here, your return is very difficult and you really don't know it for a long period. In the kindergarten, it seems that the experts are telling you you really learned it over about 4 years if you got the return. What I like to see, and this is why I asked the question for the dollar amount, is my world, all these things are answered when they're brought to you. Okay? Here's your cost. And Kurt brought it up how we're going to fund, everybody has a funding thing. That's a whole different thing. But if you don't know your cost, you don't know how you're going to fund it. So you got to start there. So this is a good question for us. You're getting the feel for it. I'm not debunking this whole process. But yeah, we need the approval to move forward or not.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's good for the public to know where we all stand on full-day kindergarten and rapid. So I get it. I understand this process. But ideally, everything should come to us. And the cost-benefit analysis has to be part of it. And the cost is getting our experts right here in the room, who are very important partners of ours in this community, and tell us what each of these ideas cost? Because right now they're ideas. And how do we implement them? And it's beyond cost for me, because when it's brought to me in my world, there's timelines associated with it. There's how you're going to do it. I mean, Jack knows this. You did it. Are we interrupting school? Are we not? Are we closing part of the school down? All these are factors when you come and present this to the decision makers. And that's, to me, that's a vital part. So whatever we do moving forward, all these little nuances of this process need to be part of this presentation, because they affect every one of our students when you have construction in school. We may not be able to complete this during the summer if we did with the additions. So to me, my expectation is that should be here for whatever you recommend. When people come into my office and they want to do these things, their recommendations are back fully. Now you need
I have one problem. I can't authorize a $25,000 expenditure.
You need a $25,000 expenditure, I understand. So now that's the
26.
Yes, I'm negotiating. No,
Carol, welcome to Joe.
Well, by the end of the meeting, you'll be down to the 10. But the Jack's been there. The other side, though. Okay, so that's the design, that's mm-hmm. the cost. Now the other side is the benefit. I mean, it goes back to what I just talked about, fourth question. I mean, that analysis has to be presented right along with those costs. And go ahead.
One of those benefits, I think, we have to hear from the community as well. Because it's not just, is it a financial benefit or is it just an academic? Is it something this community wants? Because I think that's an incredibly important aspect of this conversation. Does the community support it?
Agreed.
So that's one of those pieces.
Now let's talk about that, because that's the side of the benefit that needs to be discussed beyond just the want of wanting. But we have our communities around us who have it. Some charge tuition, some don't.
6 out of the 8 feeders, us being one, and
right.
one other,
so,
and then the private school.
So the benefits are social, emotional, and academic. Those are the ones we're focused
yeah.
on. But there's this other one that's out there in the community, and this needs to be out to the community, my opinion,
yeah.
that do we need it to make Glen Allen better? Do we need it for, does it make our housing stock better? Because that could be a benefit. There's cost to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe those costs are a referendum, maybe whatever it is, there's cost associated with it. There's a tighter budget. There's a loss of other programs, possibly.
Possibly.
I mean, because if you're going to fund this and it's X dollars, you have other programs that are Y plus Z equals X, you lose two programs. So, to me, that's the other benefit. How you study that is very difficult, but it needs to be discussed, at least in the survey. Because having what your neighbors have isn't the best thing in the world. I mean, that's for sure. People make mistakes, you don't go make the mistake with them. We're a different animal. We have different factors in our community that maybe allow us not to have it or maybe force us to have it.
Yep.
Right, go on both sides of that. But to me, this is a cost-benefit analysis, and then once you figure out what those are, there's a priority benefit, because you're going to have to figure out how you fund it. And with that, you're either going to lose programs or you're going to have to go outside and raise the money. Be it a referendum or some other way that's available. And I don't want to speak to that, because Kurt's point is valid, you know, about, well, I agree with it, so I don't know if it's valid.
So, my point's wrong.
It might be, but I agree with it. I want to say it's valid. But, you know, if we do go through, there is no way to finance the facilities internally on all day for the government. And to me, we are not refinancing the bonds that are coming off. That is not an option. So if there's things out there to do it, I don't see that as an option. If we're going to the community like we have with the task force and all this, then we're going to the community with the next stage of a referendum. And I think that's key. But to me, that's coming off the tax bill. If you look on your tax bill, it's right there. It says it's a bond payment. It's there to come off in 17 and 18. Which unfortunately, the 16 bill is actually a 15 bill, so we realize it's coming off actually 19. But that's, mine's a lot of questions, and really, around the full-day kindergarten, it hasn't been proven, and I'll circle back in summer, it has not been proven to me that academically and socio-emotionally is the best.
For all kids.
For all kids. Because it seemed pretty clear the other way. It seemed that there was a leveling off. You know, so show us the data that says that it is. But on the same side, I understand the community's desire and what we got, the feedback that they wanted. And that's not necessarily for those reasons. Some of it's for enhanced value of your community via through more people wanting to be here because we have full-day kindergarten, your value, your house goes up, or it's just better all around for your community to have. But it could be other factors I don't understand. But clearly in the survey, it was very positive, so I understand that.
Okay.
I'll weigh in.
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Yeah.
I think it was.
So that circle to continue to move forward, Joe, in terms of the research?
Well, I, to me, to spend $25,000 is that, I think it's Patrick who said, is that a yes? I mean, I thought that question could have been, but that's the question tonight, quite frankly. Do you want to spend $25,000? And to me, I would fine tune $25,000. I would eliminate some of the options.
And that's where we're going to get you next. So I'm going to hold you.
Okay.
I'm going to hold you.
So that's my answer.
I'm going to hold you. Because that important piece is that fine-tuning so we can get the right things on the survey.
Yeah.
And that will be next, honestly.
So, yes, I think it's, been stated in the task force report. The board received four different follow-up letters, emails from task force members that were very detailed, with regard to the decision. And summarizing, I would say it's that an all-day kindergarten program is an expectation, has become more of an expectation than anything. Joe, I know that we talked about this research before. I would make one comment about that in terms of the timing of that research. And that is, and this was brought up actually in the task force, and that is the sense of urgency around full-day kindergarten now is truly seeing how the Common Core and the standards have ramped up really in the last, couple of years. And so there's a different curriculum. There's a different set of expectations. And in the commentary from the task force and in these follow-up emails, that was identified as a specific issue that, the interest in having a full-day program is academic. It is for me. That's the yes. Is we're an educational system. We should be making decisions that are going to support that academic endeavor and that in kindergarten. It's changed, and I see a lot of things online and comments around wanting to have a kindergarten program that also balances the need for activity and play and recess and all those pieces. And so that's the balance. But I think the sense of urgency is the fact that the curriculum has changed. It's not going to go backwards. We're moving forward with that, not just us as a district, but education system, nationally is. So I think that's a piece for me in terms of that. Just as this board is being challenged and asked to think about what are our priorities, previous boards, and I'll speak to what Kurt brought up about this, is that it's this, for me, this constant weighing and balancing of what's the most important thing to be doing from an educational perspective. And we were hearing, just like we are with needs and interests around course space and that type of thing, that the temporary classrooms had to be addressed. And so agree with it, disagree with it, every board is faced with its challenge around what's the priority. And so at this point with, looking at the decision tree here, I think it's vital that we move forward with looking at kindergarten for all. I would not accept a kindergarten program that's going to parse out need. Our district's demographics has changed significantly over the last 5 to 7 years, decade even. I don't see that changing. I don't see it, reversing. I see it, maintaining itself, if not increasing even more in terms of our demographic. So we need to have that opportunity for all children. And whether it's perception, Joe, or reality, the fact that all of our sister districts around here, including private schools, are offering a full-day option, is what people will be asking about, as they have already, in terms of moving into a community. So there is a return on expectation for that, and it does impact property, and that's something that's universal for everybody. So I think that that's another piece of it for me. Yes, we have to have hard numbers and diagrams and all those kind of things to look at. So, you hear this number in this finite kind of 25,000, 26,000, 28,000, but that gives us a really important baseline. So we can't be cheap on that. We have to be realistic and certainly make sure that we're getting our money's worth on it. But we have to have that in order to have that decision to move forward. And I just think it's crucial for us as a board to look at the whole, but to be making this from that very system-wide perspective, and that is, this is about not just now, today, this is future-focused. This board will turn over, another board will come on, that board will turn over, but this district is here, and we will always have children coming in that are going to need to be educated. So this, to me, is looking out to the future and wanting to establish a legacy for this district that says we want to educate our kids. So I'm yes on that and that.
I just like that the increased rigor, you don't mind, you kind of brought my name up on it.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to make sure that what we were juxtaposing from that information is reflective of where the our education is now.
I understand your point. It was in response to my point. So, I do agree we're here to make decisions and the investment in 26,000 to 5,000 is why we're here today. But in the increased rigor, it's interesting because it's true there's increased rigor, but this is a large endeavor and it's an assumption without data to move forward. Just that argument. There are many reasons to move forward. So the academic one is where I have the question, so everybody understands. It's a huge assumption without data to say, if you do this, you'll get the return. Then you look at it and say, well, is there only increased rigor for kindergartners? No, there's increased rigor for everyone.
Right.
So this increased rigor for the other children is still captured in the same amount of time. We figured out ways to do it, and we changed things to do it in the same amount of time that they were getting when they had what we'll call less rigor. So this equation is different. Time has value. You have less time, so you have less flexibility with it. I understand. But to me, we're managing to educate our kids in the same amount of time when they have increased rigor from first to eighth. So I would put it on Karen and the rest of the government, Paul, to say, how do we do it with the time we have? And we're certainly doing it now. We're not saying we don't have the time, let's just forget the increased rigor. So for me, the academic part is key. Your point, I understand your point on increased rigor, but the counterpoint is just what I'm saying. So,
okay.
I had a comment for that as well. When we say there's ramped up curriculum, the curriculum's been ramped up, Common Core was designed really, it wasn't designed for our district. It was designed to bring up those districts and states that their curriculum was not, those kids were not being prepared for high school or college or beyond. So we were already getting the job done. That's why we hear about Lombard West. Well, those kids came out of District 41. So, one of the things is, we like to use things that panic people. We're going to fall behind if we don't get full day kindergarten. And then what happens is, to do that, we throw money at it. So now we're grabbing people's wallets so that when we stay ahead of the curve, because it's all going to cost money. And I'm with Joe on this in that, I'm not a firm believer that our kids are performing, they'll continue to perform, whether they have full day or half day kindergarten. And when you look at full day programs, it's not academic the whole day. So to push 5-year-olds academically all day would be almost impossible. So, a lot of those things are, there's playtime and those kinds of things. Many of the kids in our system already get that. If we have kids in our system that aren't getting that, we try and provide resources for that.
we also have resources outside. We have resource centers, one starting at Churchill, those things that provide those at really no cost to the district, so other than space. So, for me, the ramped up curriculum is just, that's a non-starter. We were already ahead of it. We were already ahead on our standards, ahead of everybody else, and that's a testament to Karen doing a good job to stay ahead of those things. And so I just don't.
I appreciate it.
Well, and I may can I just counterpoint one here? And
yeah,
I apologize.
We can go back and forth.
I just want to make sure, and this last point, I just want to make sure that I'm understood, and that is, we have a reality with the curriculum as it is. My understanding from everything we listened to the entire year is that that's not going to change. And in fact, the expectations, typically with education too, increase. There's more information, more things to learn, more ways to learn it. And so the structure that children learn in has to align with that. That's my point. Thank you.
No. So that next piece around what do you want Green Associates, FQC, to study? So we can bring you back a cost for that study. Here and there's consensus around, yes, full day kinder, but we got to know some costs, we got to know some other things with it. So this is that piece in the conversation around what do you want us to study and what do you want on that survey as options for the community. Going to Kurt and a few other people's points around what does the community think about this? So we get those other data points just rather than just the academic piece. So I would like to move us into that kind of that next decision point around what would you want, what does the board want Green and Associates to study? You have the task force recommendation where you're adding on to the elementaries, that full report. You can do a different version of that. You have administration's recommendations around an ELC. Or K-5, if that's what the board wants. So now is that time to tell us how do you want Carol and her team to what do you want Carol and her team to study for us, so we can bring you back a quote for that July 27th meeting. I do not want a July meeting. We have met weekly for the past months.
And we don't even get paid.
Can I go?
No. Okay, go.
I'll start.
All right,
I can start.
Really quick summary.
Okay, quick summary. I do not want to explore a new building at Spalding. I feel like just based on the fact that the task force, I think pretty much the feedback I heard from them, that was one thing that they were unanimous about, even though there was differing viewpoints on a lot of other things, and I guess correct me if I'm wrong. But knowing that, you have that subset of the community, which I think there was, representative from all different parts, that I just think to bring that forward even on a survey, I don't think that would get any traction with the community that we should even spend any more time or money continuing to explore that option. I feel like we need to have a couple of different options to take to the community. I know I mentioned this to you the other night. I feel like you need to say, this is if we did everything. This is if we did everything the task force wanted. Maybe this is what we need to do at a minimum if we want full-day kindergarten, or this is...
Just add the classrooms.
But
plus a little bit of space.
A little bit of space. But, some of my questions around that are, I think the proposal is to add two classrooms and maybe a bathroom.
That's the work that she'll have to go back and do and look at all of that.
But do we know, I kind of going back to, is that enough? Have we determined, just adding two classrooms is enough? Are we just doing that to meet our immediate needs? Are we being proactive? Because I think part of the problem that we have right now that we're going to have with the community is, if you look at, I know we can't go back in time and change what was done in the board had to make decisions based on what they had before. But the problem is, a lot of the community right now, I think, feels like the actions that we just took on facilities were short-sighted. And I don't think they're going to have a lot of trust in what we bring forward to them. And so I think we need to make sure and demonstrate that we have a comprehensive plan, that we've addressed all the possible issues that we can think of, but also gone about it in a cost-effective way and not necessarily done everything, you know, thrown in everything we could, but what we need to do. And, you know, I also think some of the deficiencies that we have that we need to address, I mean, I feel like we should be looking to address those outside of this and looking at capital improvement projects to address some of these things. I feel like they should have been addressed already at this point. And to throw them in with this, I think we need to be looking for other ways to address some of those things. And then two other thoughts. Another thought is, I mean, I'm just going to give an example. One example of the deficiencies is there's no room for... Back up one second. I think one of our issues, too, with our deficiencies is our prioritization of our space in our schools. So is it truly a deficiency, or is it the issue how we're prioritizing our space? For example, one of the deficiencies that was brought up at Forest Glen is we don't have a room for OT. But as I learned today, the room that used to be used for OT is now, we're calling it a production room, where I think the kids can go do videos. It sounds like we do a lot of PBL work in there. So what we've done is we've taken away the OT room, but we've prioritized the production room for the OT room. So have we ever had a production room in the past? Was that added new this year? That I don't know. But in my mind, that's an issue of prioritization, not necessarily a deficiency, because we've had an OT room every year up until this year. And then the last thing, I feel like we maybe need to be exploring other options for... We do have a little bit of space in some of our schools. Is there other options for maybe we can get away without having to add on to all the schools? I've brought it up before. I keep bringing it up. Could we look at the preschool program at Forest Glen and compare the cost of pulling that out of Forest Glen and putting it in another space to free up space at Forest Glen versus putting additions on at Forest Glen?
Wasn't that investigated by the task force?
Yes, but it was investigated by the task force, and
I want to make sure that we're also recognizing that some of that is better.
I talked to some task force members to ask about this, and it's my understanding that it was an option that was ruled out from the task force because that in and of itself did not provide kindergarten at all of the schools. All that would do would be to help Forest Glen. Mm-hmm. So that in and of itself is not a solution, but I don't think the task force ever said that's not enough. We should never look at that. That's a horrible idea. Maybe they did. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think that ever happened. And I guess in my mind I'm thinking if we have to go forward to the community and we are going to have to ask for some money for this to happen, is this a way we could reduce the amount of money we need, still provide all the services we need to the kids in our district at the same quality? I think we need to consider options like that to see if we can reduce the amount of construction that we would have to do. And that, in my mind, would demonstrate to the community, look, we are trying to do this without just
huge
throwing everything at it.
Yeah, and less disruption, I agree.
So, that's it.
That is that?
Yes.
Recommendation, and then a little bit smaller, you know, making it work, plus a few deficiency areas, but also looking at how can we work on some of those deficiency areas with cap project, with our capital projects, and then that final piece of how does that preschool program play in the overall full-day kindergarten? Sorry, Joe.
No, I'm going to just speed off 1 second since I agree with most of it.
Okay.
So in my world, I deal with architects and CMs. So the way I go about it, given that we did a task force, is I would take the task force recommendation. We spent a lot of time doing incredible work. So to me, it's mandatory that we look at their solution.
Okay.
They came up with it for various reasons. So to me, that's wholehearted.
We got two there.
So the thing that I look at my architect and my CM as my team, they now know our problems. They've read the task force, all the data they went through, all the data that we gave us. it's time to turn to that. Do utility studies of the space we're using, because we can redesign the space we're using. We're the classrooms that were built 100 years ago with Ben Franklin, 50 years ago at Lincoln, are not the ideal classrooms for today. So what they can do is look at the space we have under roof and say, this is what we can do to get full-day kindergarten and move programs around. I don't need to come up with solutions, because that is not what I'm an expert on. But we hire the experts to say, "This, you gave me the problem. This is the best solution I can come up with the assets that you have." So to me, that is the second option that we absolutely need them to do. And as far as deficiencies, I 100% agree. These are deficiencies, goes to what Kurt said. The next 100 years, we're going to have deficiencies in the buildings. There's reasons. There's wear and tear. There's change of programs. You look at a building like Ben Franklin, you can't use it today for certain things because of ramps and other things. These are on an ongoing basis. Once again, I turn to our experts. They've been in the buildings before. They've rehabbed buildings before. And that's probably what you do most of the time versus doing a new building. Because Illinois is a very mature, especially this area, very mature, asset-rich land-poor type of community. So you have to go in and do it. So I say, here's the projects. Here's the deficiency we see. We once again go to their report. They see these deficiencies. Some of them may be 100% valid. Well, let's make sure we agree with that. Let's list them. Let's find what those projects are, what the cost of those projects. Work with our administration to figure out what the priorities are, which then goes back to the second school. So that's the third thing I think they should be in charge of. Figuring out those deficiencies. Some you may not be able to figure out. Some may be a fix that happens in 30 days, you know, because they've been in there before. And then the last thing I think for me, I think that's the solution. So if we're not using experts, then we're coming up with some bad ideas if we're looking at us 7, 6, because we're just not really trying to agree. So new building, it's falling. I agree. I don't think that's an option we should pick up.
Okay. So, just to try to move it along, how many agree with kind of the hybrid of Joe, Stephanie idea that definitely task force and then turn it over to experts to look at that space utilization and using the task force recommendation around deficiencies for them to come forward with us in the next few weeks to bring those options back to the board? But then that's what they would be looking at. How many people can we do that?
You don't have to say anything.
You don't have to say anything.
Okay.
I get a yes.
On the timeline and the deficiencies, for me, that's third. We have deficiencies for the rest.
Absolutely.
The rest of the life.
To Stephanie's point, there are some that have to be done through capital projects that could be ongoing for the rest of them.
I think all of them do.
Okay.
I think they all do. If you have deficiencies in your building, a teacher's lounge that is from 1962, and you haven't updated it. I mean, there's different things that occur today with, equipment and all that, and space utilization. Just do it. You put it on your priority list.
We're going to spend money to go ahead and look at it as long as they're drilling down, trying to make sure we're using the space as best we can. Limit that. I'm okay with that. I just remind people, the Lombard West is 99 years old, and I look in that building almost every day when I walk the back hill, and there's desks that were there. I think I sat in some of those desks, and that school is producing outstanding kids. So there are a lot of deficiencies in that building. We get hung up on some of these deficiencies, and we can get around some of these things. So
I appreciate it, Patrick.
Yes.
Erica?
I would agree. I'd add one caveat, and that would be, for me, the top of it is the least amount of disruption to the buildings.
Okay.
And making sure that we're, being conscious of that. So,
okay.
And I want to also say, just again to kind of close this out, I've been initially always on the record of wanting to try and use the space at Spalding, in particular for an ELC, because it's a small property. We own it. It would be a way to move numbers of children out of buildings that have 550, 625, 650 kids. So, but I recognize from the task force and even in the follow-up that that's not something that they agreed to. So I want to respect that, and I would take that off.
No, I appreciate it. And again, it is why we recommended it way back in November of 2013 that the two go hand in hand and they work together. And it does work, but I also respect that as well. So we're moving on with that. So taking that same thinking to have it, can we do the same process? Take the task force recommendation and hand it over to Green Associates and do the same exact work, that space utilization, that making sure that cap projects, all the pieces that we talked about, are we comfortable there doing the same work, handing that back over to Green?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Consensus there?
I would just say like in looking at the Brain Spaces study, I mean, they had some alternative solutions that I think could be less costly than what we had, than what was drawn up by our previous architect. Like, for example, taking the existing auditorium and making it a cafeteria auditorium and relocating the music rooms to where the current cafeteria is. Like, is something like that going to be a lot? What would be the cost differential of that versus building a separate brick and mortar outside the school, not outside the school, cafeteria auditorium?
What's the most cost effective to get all of this work done?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And looking at it very differently. I mean, and then Green Associates is going to look at it very differently. They're not interested in FGM's work. They're going to create their own work based off of some other, the Brain Spaces report.
Recommendation really come down to nothing moving the portables, but the cafeteria.
The cafeteria auditorium. Nobody likes that name.
And that's kind of.
And then that pot.
Because even if,
the pot, the redoing of the pots, was a piece within the majority recommendation.
Yeah, but it was a 60-40
majority. I apologize.
I just want to make sure we're all here today.
But we should be talking about that from kind of an educational standpoint as well, because
I agree. I was just making a point that if there's no reason not to have them do it, in my opinion, because then you're going to compare, once again, you're going to compare cost benefit.
Right.
So, but I want to be clear that in that discussion that we had, we heard that. It was close, so it's something we should all feel comfortable with going and getting the data. And the data, quite frankly, I mean, if they're doing the work on the majority of Hadley, looking at that other area, I'm going to negotiate now. But, I mean, it's not that much more money to tag on at that moment in time.
Well, that was one of my thoughts. Is when you start into something like this, to parse out a piece because it doesn't, we only got 60 versus 40, I think is folly, because if we're going into this with a new architect, the whole intention of getting a new architect on some level was to bring a new lens to this.
Right.
And so they're going to have that.
I totally agree. Yeah. I feel I want to make sure that it's said that we all recognize that it was a close balance, even though it was just 60-40. Things past 60-40.
I think because it was close to tag off that, I think we need to have one of our options needs to be just getting rid of the portables, because I think the 40%, that was their preferred option. So what would it look like if we just got rid of the portables? And then the second would be, what would it look like if we got rid of the portables and also redid the music rooms, auditoriums?
Got an alternative.
I think we need to have
option
those broken out separately. I mean, maybe the getting rid of the portables will look the same no matter what you do to anything else, but they need, I think, be broken out separately by cost too.
One of the pieces that you said earlier, you really want to make sure that there are options for the community, because this is ultimately going to go to the survey. These things with these numbers, whatever Green Associates developed, will be part of that survey. So what you're saying is make sure that we have two options for community members to look at, because if we only have one, they say no to that. We really don't know. Was it the cost or was it just no?
And the reality,
so I appreciate that.
And the reality is you're just asking for the alternates on the big package.
Right.
And because once they're out there, those alternates should be cheaper to do if you're doing them all at the same time. Because you have your mobilization and all that. So to me, you definitely want to look at it. I don't look at it as an option and an option.
Nope.
I look at it as an alternate thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe that's a piece of this too. Just two comments. One is, when we're looking at Hadley and we're thinking about this auditorium and having to redo it, upgrade it, there's an impact for our elementaries as well, because our elementaries have also have a lot more fine arts opportunities. We have schools that go to COD to use their space, churches in the area, because we don't have the facilities in the elementary schools to do that. So this is, we always talk about how everybody feeds into Hadley, so what happens here, there's a benefit to every child in our district because they get to move through this. And I think there's a benefit certainly to the programs and the educational programs at our elementaries when we think about doing something of that magnitude here at the middle school. It's not just a Hadley outcome. But the other piece I pick up from Joe also is the scale, how this is scaled, and the scalability of, you know, doing this, and if you have this, just do the portables, and then this other option. How is that, what's the word I'm looking for, but what's the savings with that when you're having a larger project going on because you've already broken dirt, you've already done that work? You know, there's cost savings to that on some level that would be interesting to see.
Right,
that's what I was looking for.
And my expectation is that when you get just the portables, you're not going to have any of the savings in that part of your menu. It will all show up in your alternatives.
Essentially, yeah.
I just had a point of clarification.
Okay.
And I'm just watching the numbers, and it was $26,000 for the architectural cost. Is that
per 16?
No, I mean, is it 26 per project or 26 total?
No. So what? Drop that number from your head.
26 is what we do both.
Stop with that number right now, because what we're going to do now, you're giving us direction.
To
say, hey, Carol, you just heard all of this. You come back to me and give me an updated quote, and then on the 27th, I'm going to bring that to the board to say, it's X amount of dollars, yes or no, do you want us to move forward with those X amount of dollars? So I don't want to say right now it's 25 or 27, and we're probably not negotiating right now.
And that's June 27th.
Instead
of having one number, I'd like two numbers. I'd like it broken down, elementary, Hadley.
I think you're going to go through the whole thing, and you want to see the whole number.
I'd like to know what the costs are.
Okay, you're going to have more costs if you break it down than if you have it to. There's economies of scale for her to do a bigger job, but that's okay. You can do it.
Literally, you kind of chime in here?
Definitely.
How it would work at the elementary level and how much it would cost at the Hadley level.
And
all those different pieces.
Well, you can break it down. You can get both.
I want to clarify.
Yeah, okay.
I want the partner discount. My expectation is to bundle this.
When we're deciding it tonight, I mean, I doubt.
We're just going to get a number, and then we're going to say yes or no.
But aren't we giving you direction right now?
You're giving me direction to ask her to put together a quote.
Just an estimate for this work.
Now, here's the thing. Jack's time's not free.
We're gonna get a price now for money.
What I don't want to happen is we get a quote of 18.5, and then we find out that at the end Jack.
Of course. That'll be included. Yeah.
And if there's any other parties involved in this besides Dave's time and Cheryl's time.
Okay, I think Stephanie.
I have one other thing for Hadley.
Okay.
I would like to propose another option, because I think there's two issues. One is the portable, and the other is the space. The music program space. I mean, I know there's issues with the walls and all of that. So the solution that was proposed was the cafeteria auditorium. But have we considered, in my mind, that seems like that's going to be an expensive thing to build, just with what you're going to have to outfit with it. have we considered an option where you get rid of the portables and you leave the auditorium, but make it just be an auditorium, and add on classroom space that is just for the music rooms? Because I think really all you need for a room to be a music room is you just need it to be two stories high. But beyond that, they don't need, like, any special risers or anything like that. So how much would it be to just add three square music rooms? You could leave the auditorium as an auditorium, leave the cafeteria as a cafeteria. I know there's been some issues. There was another discussion about the cafeteria being small. Maybe you throw into that option, okay, could we bump out just the cafeteria a little bit to make the cafeteria bigger? I just wonder if that would be a cheaper option than building a cafeteria auditorium. Still meets all the needs. I don't know. I'm not an architect.
No,
it's just,
I'm just going to suggest,
I think
suggest
isn't
what I
to keep
suggested the last time.
To bump out?
Yeah.
Which is...
So the board saw this. This was what Pete Ladisek had sent, I think.
No,
it was to bump out the wall.
I think what's important here, once again, is what we just discussed with the elementaries. Once again, we have this space. Not all of it's being utilized at 100% level. We really never do utilize your space at 100% level. But we have the experts here. We know what the task force said. So we're saying, give us this menu with the task force, portables, and then this menu for the cafeteria. Then look at it with your fresh expert eyes and say, here, we can achieve all these things, maybe everything plus something, maybe everything minus something, but giving our expert eyes and experience, this is what we would propose. We meet what the task force wanted, 80% or 105%, and this is your option. It's the same thing, letting the experts go. Instead of Stephanie, us designing it up here, building three classrooms here.
Yeah, I think that's your job, right?
Well, I mean,
you do this.
I agree with Joe most of the night. I would say, Carol doesn't live in Glen Allen, and she's only been in Glen Allen 12 times her entire life, probably. But, so, to give her some thoughts in her head to then go back and take those kinds of things, and maybe it's something that she wouldn't have actually thought of. I realize she's an expert, but she's not going to think of everything. And so the reality, we have to probably, if there's some thoughts that somebody had to look at that, maybe she looks at it and says, great idea. Maybe she looks at it and says, no, it's not really cost-effective to do it.
Here's what I suggest.
I don't think she's designing it. I think she's giving some options and trying to get some options here, because the reality is...
Options to design.
Right, in the design feature. Because if you come back with these three and that's what you go with, well, I can tell you right now, I'm never going to go ahead and go for a cafeteria. We have an intergovernmental agreement. Lombard South has a brand new auditorium. It's beautiful. We have Lombard West. We can do our plays there. We can do that. And that's called economy of scale between two government bodies. It's a beautiful thing. So
Can I just clarify real quick? I feel like we've already put the cafeteria auditorium out there. And I don't know who came up with that, if that was FGM or whatnot. All I'm saying is I don't think that we feel we have to have it. I don't even know
it's
that.
It's not finite. It can be other ideas.
For one second, let me finish. Can I just get my thought out of my head? So maybe I should say it different. Could we just tell Green and Associates, look, we need to get rid of the pods. Another option is... Mm-hmm. That maybe the cafeteria needs to be a little bit bigger, and using the auditorium spaces as classroom space is not ideal, so we need to figure out a different option for classroom space. Maybe that's what we tell them and let them come up with the plan. But I guess I was a little uncomfortable with this whole cafeteria auditorium thing.
Because are we telling her to design that? Are we telling the expert to design that?
You're telling her to...
I'm just being a smart aleck.
Okay.
But that you could make that argument that we're telling her to design that as an expert.
Right? I think I'm saying the same thing, but I'm saying it in my world, what I'm used to talking about. So maybe I'm not speaking philosophically. Here's the thing. We want them to take, I think what the task force recommended, it's important to be. So if that includes that, then that's what we should do.
Right.
I mean, I could shock you, but with the sharing of resources in our community, absolutely number one thing. If they haven't exhausted that, then you shouldn't be looking at that stuff as options. To prove that we've exhausted it, prove what the costs are to do it, this transportation and all that. So I'm in favor of that.
100% before we go and build this. But that's not important to me. What's important to me right now, what's important to me right now, is there is a recommendation here that took a long time to get. Many great minds and discussions were had to get it.
So it's pretty split.
But this was the end, right. The end product.
But that's what the board charged them to do, they've come back I think what I'm hearing is saying we're honoring that work. We're honoring the work.
To that end, also in this, in their data, in this report, and beyond this report, mm-hmm. are suggestions. And if somebody made those suggestions, let's certainly get them. But what I don't want us to do as board members is to start to design. Because I agree. There are so many nuances to things when you start doing second floor here and this and there, and structural steel and what the foundation is and all.
It's not our job.
We shouldn't.
Okay.
But the task force went after it. So let's absolutely take whatever those thoughts and ideas were within it, give it to them so they could use. They may be very helpful and they may not, but it's not for us to determine. So let them do it.
So just a recap. What I'm hearing. At the elementary level, we're going to have we are going to study the task force recommendations. That's part of their job to design something around that. So they're going to do a cost estimate for that. And then we're going to ensure that the experts are looking at those facilities and say, are there other options here that we could do this work at the elementary level and bring options? Biggest piece I heard is make sure there's options.
Mm-hmm.
That from your vantage point, Carol, that you guys look at it and say, okay, you definitely do the task force, but then give us other alternatives that we can bring back to the board into the community ultimately. So if there's three elementary options, three Hadley options, or two and two, whatever you believe is the most important, I think one of those pieces that we've got to look at is ensuring that we've got to have that direct. Portables are gone. Portable, that kind of the one-for-one portables, and then maybe a little bit above that. Same at the elementary level. How do you just make it work plus a little bit more? So having both of those opportunities, but really leaning on you as the expert and your team as the experts to bring forward some options for the board, but one of those options must be the task force recommendation option.
Well, and I think
does
as far
work?
I yes. think how I yes. talked about how we need to have kind of like different options. Like this is the top. If you look at the task force report, their scoring matrix for both Hadley and the elementary school. I mean, if you look at those kind of give you
order.
Those drive what the other options are. Like I mean, at the elementary school, you can actually take off three of them because building a new school, removing fifth grade, and rebuilding schools. I think those options were all.
You said no to those.
Oh, no.
So we're
modify right. existing buildings plus deficiencies or just modifying existing buildings.
Like,
those
I
are the two different.
Like I'm sorry. I look at it differently than just looking at that list, that laundry list. I look at they had things that they discovered, things that they want. Now you have your blank sheet of paper, which isn't totally blank. It's not raw land.
Yeah.
It's a building. And there's programs already within that building that you have to deal with. Now take what they wanted and put them in the existing buildings by redesigning the buildings. And if you have to add one classroom at, Ben Franklin because you just couldn't do it within it because of its limitations because of its age, then that's fine. Then you're allowed to do that in your best, I want your best foot forward. I don't want nine options. I mean, I probably don't even want three. I'm not used to seeing that many. I mean, you're the expert. Give me the two best options outside of what the task force did. I'm not taking the task force and saying, their number two option was this one. Show me that. No. They made a recommendation. Give me their first one. Then you go, read the report, which you've done already. You know what their desires are. Go fit them into our buildings by moving things around and utilizing space better and taking our old buildings and renovating them.
That's your job. Go ahead, Carol.
Can I say something really quick? I don't know if the architects can explicitly get the requirements out of the solutions. Right? So I don't think anywhere in there does it necessarily say the reason why I want
to. My request would be if you guys have that somewhere, that you email it
off your BlackBerry right now, BlackBerry, your iPhone. But you know, I mean, if you have that list, and you
had,
you have the deficiencies.
Right. But just saying, like we talked about, one of the things about the cafetorium or expanding the cafeteria, the requirement there was all one grade has one lunch period, right? And that was one of the requirements. And I don't think that's explicitly defined as a requirement. That would be the requirement. They would need to design a new cafeteria to look at cafeteria.
Well, I think you guys are here going this, and I'm going to close that conversation, but I think it's helpful.
Well, this is a public meeting,
though.
Yeah. No, but it is, I mean, typically we don't allow anybody to comment.
So I didn't hear that, but
so
I'm going to
I've been out there and been told I couldn't comment. So, you know.
No, thank you, Scott. But this is a special meeting. Yeah.
I want to be careful. Just
so we had public comment, but we can comment.
Can we have a little flexibility on the conversation?
Well, I
think it's great that Scott's giving this insight.
It's interesting when it's part of the rules.
Just to finish the thought, though, the one thing we don't want to do is move forward without this information. So if we could ask, let's say it didn't happen so we can move forward, and I just heard a bird behind me say it, okay? Let's get that information to Jack.
Okay. So I think
if they have it, let's work with Lori and Tom, who headed it up, and see if they can provide that. Because what we don't want to do is move forward and not have them have all the data that this task force did. Because I think that...
Okay, so my summary is...
Carol wanted to say something, I think.
Yeah, I have one question. I think I have a good handle on the elementary as far as what everyone would see as priority items. And then I have a list of priority two that came from the task force and the videos and other people that I've talked to and heard what they feel like. So here's one question. Am I aiming to parity between all of them? And by parity, I mean program parity. Maybe the room might be slightly different at one school than the other, but for example, if I hear that the nurse's office is too small at one school, shall I look at the nurse's office and all of them to make sure that I'm just using that.
My answer to that
is an important thing to talk about.
My answer to
that is you're solving different problems at different schools and you're still not satisfied.
To look at it, yes. You're not gonna solve it here because you can't solve it there. But yes,
that's exactly what I mean.
You absolutely should be looking at it.
I think we've talked about that, about the consistency across the schools. Yeah.
Except when we're talking about third sections of specialization, and then it can be each building.
Well, it's hard because
you'll look at the parity piece and making sure that each of the schools within the
But I think we need to, I mean, I think like that needs to be kind of broken out because, you know, that means when we're weighing what we're going forward with, we need to know, like, this is just to get the kindergarten, this is to address the
parity. Like that example was a deficiency.
Right.
That was not.
And the question is recognizing how very vastly different all four of the elementaries are, right?
Okay. So what we'll have is Carol put together an estimate. We'll have that back to the board on June 27th for the board to take action on that night to move that aspect forward. So from those costs, then the board will... We'll move those ideas. Also, once they're drawn up and we've done the work on them and the cost on them, those would be a part of the school perception survey. So that's how these two pieces work together. From the cost, we'll have cost that we'll be able to put out to the community. We'll have some details that we'll be able to put out to the community on that school perception survey. So that's how those pieces will come together, and we'll bring that cost back to you as well once that's done. Okay? And then from that community survey, which we're looking to launch right now in that late August, early September time frame, we would have that turnaround and then come back to the board with some, I believe, some pretty definitive, one way or the other, answers to questions that we've asked the community on this and on some other areas. And from there, then we would be at to Patrick's point very early in the night, then you're going to be answering some bigger questions around where do we go from here? Referendum, does it happen in-house? Does it happen in other areas? So that's kind of that, a little bit of that timeline as we're going down this path. So we would be looking at that community survey in that late August, September, results back probably into September, beginning of October. Okay?
I have two more things. To the point that as far as all of the deficiencies or, you know, the things that need done in the schools and the logic that the task force put into it, if that's not in the report and maybe all of the deficiencies that we need to address aren't necessarily in the report, there's not like a page that says this is what we need to address. Do we need to, you know, be working towards when we come back on the 27th to come up with some of those lists? I mean, I know we're saying, well, if the task force has it, email it. But, I mean, I feel like they've done their job, come up with the report. Is it our job to make sure we're outlining and capturing those things, or are we putting it back on someone else?
What I heard was we're putting it back here, and then she, you know, based off of all of her work, she would then bring that back to the board to say, here are all the pieces that I looked at, here are the deficiencies that I took care of, and then from there, that's when the board will say, yes, to these go on the community survey, or we don't want this work done at this cost. That's when you would parse that down to say what goes out to the community, what are you going to accept, what do you think is an appropriate cost benefit from it. But it would come from her work once she's in the building, once they've looked at it, and they bring it back to the board.
So that they'll have enough information to address the deficiencies.
I believe so. And being able to reach back out to the task force, I mean, that's an option for her as well to say to us, hey, can we convene the task force so I can sit with them and have a conversation about certain areas? That is totally up to Carol, if that's a need for her. Does that work?
Mm-hmm. And then my second thing was, you know, the idea as far as exploring other options as far as preschool and how that could change our the plan for additions. Are we interested in exploring something like that at all? How does that play into this? Because we're going to have to get information. I mean, if we want to consider that, that's not really necessarily, that doesn't fall in Green and Associates, except for it would change the plan and they would just look to address deficiencies.
Are you talking about the moving of out of Forest Glen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a part of the report, but that's also then, my understanding was talking to the principals, because it doesn't just impact Forest Glen, but the other schools. So, you know, you're going to put them someplace.
One of the things that we would come back to as well,
how does it impact other schools?
Let me just say this. I would put those pieces out there for the community. If the community comes back and says no to all these pieces, no matter your options or not, I think it then comes back to the board under this no from the community to say, do you want it for some? How do we make that
Did you
work?
Say pre-K or K?
I'm talking about the preschool program.
Right. To give more flexibility
and space there and be a more cost-effective option than additions.
It just goes back to what was said before. We're charging our experts to look at that, knowing that that's a potential move.
What are they going to do? Go to outside entities to see about leasing space from them? I don't know that. I'm not talking about building a pre-K program. I'm talking about moving it out, leasing property from Park District or whoever, moving the program into that type of facility.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say
which was done 15 years ago.
Bruce has a comment.
I asked Dr. Gordon for the letter that indicated what reasons we moved out of the pre-K program out of Main Street School. And he indicated that you didn't really have any interest in looking up. I remember you saying you weren't going to look it up and didn't have interest in looking it up. So I felt that those options weren't completely explored in our discussions. And I'm not sure that the architect would have enough local knowledge about what might be available. They might, but I felt the task force never did explore that option. And I think it was an option that about 40% of the people might have thought maybe it would work, maybe it wouldn't, but it was not fully vetted or explored.
Did this tie into some of the conversation, which was, I think, a key priority was our local school, neighborhood schools?
No,
right?
Because the preschool kids are all bused. Unless Forest Glen is your home school, they're all bused there anyway, so they're not going to
right.
their
Everybody
home school.
Everybody keeps saying that. They're all being bused. Most of those kids are being bused into that school. So if they're being bused there, being bused to Main Street, the Main Street Rec Center, where we house preschools and where that actual program used to go, they used to actually go to Main Street. That's what was actually happening.
The issue is with kindergarten, because everybody goes to kindergarten.
Right.
Preschool, we only have 100 and...
But the outcome of moving them would be, that would be full-day kindergarten for some. Correct. I mean that's the only way to do it.
No, I'm saying
because those
do that.
Kids are out.
Do that in when you're looking at providing full day kindergarten for all. If you're going to do additions on all the schools, could we look at one school instead of doing additions, pulling that program into a different
you're
facility?
You're saying less
so
amount of
less money
construction
than construction. It doesn't take up more green space.
I think the first piece would be that we'd have to look with within our community or outside our community. Could we lease space? And Park District, as you said, or anybody else, for all those classrooms. So you'd have to have that answer first, and then Green Associates would then answer that next question.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is that we did do some of this work already. We did look at, we had some of those conversations. And maybe this is a question on the survey to say, you know, would you want your children, you know, in a separate space outside of district property?
I think it's a good
Maybe
question.
That's a question.
I think what's important for the task going forward is that we either give a thumbs up or down to allow our experts to have that as an option to them when they're being creative to utilize their space. Mm-hmm. If we took 120 students out of Forest Glen, that gives you more flexibility in redesigning Forest Glen for full-day kindergarten.
Well, and the question underneath this too, or around it, is also, is that the best academic setting? You know, not having them in a school space.
I don't think you need that answer now. So I don't think you.
It's somewhat rhetorical, though.
Okay, well, I'm kidding.
Well, then all the preschool kids are being screened.
Since
I asked for the thumbs up.
Two comments here, Jill.
Can I just?
Yeah, go ahead.
It may be the worst thing to do in the survey, people can tell us, but right now we're just tasked with one simple thing. So I don't think we should broaden our discussion into, you know, is it what the community wants, is it best academically, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But leasing space, if it's cost effective and we can then provide full day kindergarten because there's a bottleneck at Forest Glen, we should have our experts look at that option. So I give it a thumbs up in this proposal.
Okay.
Others?
What's your comment, Jeff, and then?
To the Main Street there, I don't know if it would be viable, but it does need to be looked at. But in terms of if our district's interested, our people interested, people are definitely interested. But I personally had a conversation back in the fall with their heroes who got to me immediately a copy of all the plans for Main Street. And it was very open-handed discussions with you guys. I'm sure it would be very favorable, but what would need to be done in space different than what was 5 years ago, I don't know.
And what would need to be done with their programs that currently exist within that space?
Right.
Because they have, with David and I went over there, there's
a preschool program and offering levels.
So they do have current programming on a daily basis there as well.
At the end of the day, everybody just be aware, whatever space you're leasing, there's costs to doing it. Obviously, there's a lease cost. But there's also, you're going to have to put DI dollars into there. There's no doubt about it. Kind of improvement. You're going to have to approve and redesign that space. And that's the cost aspect. But that, right now, it's just, how does it fit allowing us to have full day here?
Okay.
It's a part of the equation.
Yeah.
Should we move forward to allow them? Because they may say we can do without it, but if you do it, here's the benefits. And then we weigh the cost benefit analysis and get that data back.
I'm sorry, back here, she's behind the.
Hi, my name's Colleen.
Hi, Colleen.
I just want to say on the other side of moving preschoolers out here that there's a large consensus and we stopped talking about it because there are most vulnerable students, there are the youngest students, there are most at could move such a small at-risk group of kids. We just didn't feel that it was worth it. Where are you going to put them that is a safe, accessible place for them? Main Street is not a lot of feeling. It's not a difficult area to get in. None of the park district buildings are. We moved past that option because of so many little things like that that came up in discussion. And it does not solve the problem for all day kindergarten, for all students, period. It doesn't solve it.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we want that as part of the proposal? That's the question.
You know, I'm going to defer back to the, we've been talking about this, but the facility report, and I know this has come up, and it feels still undone for some of us, but I feel like to Scott's point earlier and to Colleen's, that these discussions were held, and what ended up on the matrix, which was kept or not kept, was vetted by that group for very specific reasons. And so I think for me it doesn't address this all day program, and for me it's an all or nothing.
I don't know how you know that if you haven't looked at the results of the data, and that's why.
So what are you saying, Joe, so I understand
it? Everybody's saying it doesn't address the full day program.
Well,
I'm sorry, I don't want to be the one to say it doesn't.
Because let me understand what you're asking, though. So have have Carol look at if you take the children out, what does that do in terms of opening the opportunity for doing these other things?
You're not voting on taking the children out now.
I know that.
It's rhetorical. It's a statement. So let me just finish. So really all you're doing is saying, I want to know what it gives me.
What does it provide?
What options do I have when I do it? It may be the worst decision in the world. It may be. And we're going to have a good discussion on that. But boy, would it be a mistake not to know if it helps you or not. And obviously it probably will help you. But what you don't know is the magnitude.
Right.
And then that's where you weigh all those costs of moving those children and the physical cost, the emotional cost,
right,
and all that. But until you know how much it helps you, what does it matter knowing the other? So let's get to that point first. She's looking at the data. Everybody's looking at the data.
So do we want her to look at that? Is that going to be another option?
Based on Joe's was saying, yeah.
Things that
then do it.
Yes. We're going to look at it.
If you don't, you're never, ever going to
answer
it. You're never, until you start weighing. Who knows what that leads to? Could it be a small boundary shift with Churchill? Who knows, right? I mean, until you look at these options, and until you do that and show the taxpayer that you're looking at all these options on ways to try and save money and use money, their money, efficiently, if you don't do that, it's just a not.
Yeah.
So
I hear you. It's the time to do it now.
We've got our pieces.
And it's just a snapshot of time.
Our next work, your next work, is to put together estimates back as well. If there's some work on your end as well, we'll bring that estimate back to the board on June 27th for action at that point. Okay.
And I think I just want to, one thing I want to point out for the preschool, because maybe, to make sure everyone out here understands, the preschool has been very fluid over time. I mean, it used to be all at one location, then they shifted it back to the home school, then they shifted it to Forest Glen. I mean, there's been a lot of movement
because of the needs
over time.
Yeah.
Because of the needs and space. I mean, to be honest, space has driven a lot of that, and it's also driven a lot of, special ed, which is our neediest students, too. So this is a matter of space and really trying to, have a cost-effective but also positive. I mean, nobody wants any of this to be negative for any student. So just,
Okay, that's what you're going to have in return. You're going to have those estimates from Carol and her team, and Jack, if that's a need as well. We'll have that back to you June 27th. With that, this portion of the meeting is over.
I want to thank everybody for coming and for continuing to support the conversation. Carol, thank you. Welcome to the district and all this work. And Jack, for being back. Thank you, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
All right. May I have a motion now to adjourn to closed session under Section 2C10, the placement of individual students in special education programs and other matters relating to individual students. May I have a motion?
Motion.
Mr. Wojcinski and Mr. Buchholz. All right? The board will not be taking it. I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The board will not be taking action when it returns from closed session.